Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Well, I want to thank our staff for filling in for me while I was gone last week. They did a fabulous job. Pastor Angela and her team had a great week of project discovery, heard a lot of great things about it. And then Pastor Josh kicked off our series, Others First. And last week, I listened to it on the website, and he just knocked it out of the park. Wasn't that a good message last week? Amen. Amen. And our staff, we were talking about how we really feel, and Pastor Josh shared this, that these next 5 months to the end of the year, we really need to focus on others first, both inside the four walls of the church and outside of the four walls of the church. We need to focus on the inside, because there's a lot of people. We've had people say, you know, the church is friendly, there's greeters and they greet me, and the pastors talk to me. But outside of that, nobody else really knows me. Nobody else talks to me. And we want our church to be a place where people feel connected, that people feel that people care about them. As a church, we want to be reaching also out beyond the four walls of our church. We want to be impacting our community. We want to be discipling others, especially the next generation, the young people. It's so easy for us to get caught up and have a consumer mentality. In fact, a lot of church growth specialists talk about today how there is a consumeristic mindset in the church where people come and they say, "What's in it for me? What do you have for me, for my kids, for my students, for our marriage? What do you have for us?" And church is all about me, but that's not what church is to be about. If church was about us, you know where we would be? We would be in heaven. Because I tell you, in heaven, it doesn't get any better for you and I, does it? If God was concerned about the best well-being we could have, he would take us all to heaven right now. There's only one reason we're still here on the planet, and that's for the lost. That's for others. And we need to be other-oriented in our life. And so that's what we are focusing on here this week. And Pastor Josh, he shared the verse, and it's up on the screen, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24. It says, "No one should seek their own good, but the good of others." Look at that verse. How many people should seek their own good? No one. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. That is the mantra for the Christian. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, then that is your mantra. Now, for those of you who are not, and maybe you're here this morning, you've never been in church, or maybe it's the first time in a long time, then you can be as selfish as you want. No, I'm kidding. That's not good. That won't work well for you. But hey, we want you to know that we are so glad you're here. But by nature, all of us seek ourselves. I know for me, even though I'm a believer, I've been saved 40 years now. I was saved when I was 8. I'm 48 now. I've been saved 40 years. And it is so easy for me to focus on self. And as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm not to seek my own welfare, but to seek the good of others. I love how it says it in the message. But the point is not just to get by. We want to live well. How many of you want to live well? Yeah, about 30%. Okay, I'm about to 50%. The rest of you don't want to live well. Well, hey, that's your problem, okay? We want to live well, but our foremost efforts should be to help others live well. My foremost effort should not be, how can Craig live well? How can Craig live comfortably? How can Craig live happy? But my foremost effort, and the foremost effort of all of us followers of Jesus Christ, is to help others. Wow. That's why others first is so vitally important as a follower of Jesus Christ. And this morning, I'm going to talk about the invisibles, okay? As we continue our series, I want to talk about the invisibles. Take a look at your message notes this morning. They're on the back of your bulletin. Take out your bulletin today. And the word invisible, it means imperceptible, inconspicuous, not seen. And as we get started this morning, I want you to look around at the people sitting next to you, okay? Look at the people sitting in front of you. and then on the left side and right side, and then behind you, okay? Now, if they're family, then look past them, okay? Don't look at your family. And I ask this simple question. Do you know the name of the person that's sitting next to you? Do you know the name of the people sitting in front of you this morning? How about the people sitting behind you? How about on your left or your right? And if you're on the outside aisle, then you gotta look a little bit. But do you know their name? And here's the thing. How many would say, I sit by these people almost all the time? Raise your hand. They're kind of, yeah, okay, a lot of hands up. Now, if you sit by them, you've been coming here for a few months or a few years or several years, and you're sitting by the same people, but you don't know their name, do you think that's what God intended his body to be? No. You see, and I just give you a challenge. Start to, you know faces. I know that person. They've been coming here for months, but I have no idea who they are. An others first mentality says, I want to get to know them. Now, you might not get close to them, but it's just getting to know people. It's being friendly. That's others first. And so I challenge you, if there is someone here and you know their face, but you have no idea who they are, just begin to get to know them. After church today, ask for their name. Because you see, when we see people but we don't notice people, they're invisible. They're invisible. In your notes this morning, Jesus was aware of people. No one was invisible to Jesus. No one went unnoticed. People were not invisible to Christ. Jesus was aware of people. And that's what this message today is all about, is having a greater awareness for others. And this thing about being invisible, it's not just something that the 21st century church deals with. Although, you know, I can't tell you how many times, you know, you see people and they're just walking around and I'm guilty and, you know, they're on their phone or they're on their device or they've got their headphones in, like, you know, Pastor Josh was saying, and we're in our own world and we don't think about others. But this whole thing about others first, it has been an issue since Jesus was around. We're going to take a look today at six kinds of invisible people that are in the Bible. The early church struggled with this, and there were six different groups that I see that were invisible to Christ followers. And these are areas that we need to apply and be aware of in our life, because if we're aware of these six areas, then it can help us to really make an impact in other people's lives. We want to break out of the four walls of this church and start to notice people. That's why I want you to write this date down in your notes, okay? September 17th and 18th. Everyone write that down. September 17th and 18th. Do you realize how many Sundays you and I drive past dozens of homes that surround the church and we haven't really done anything as a church to reach out to these hundreds of people that live around us? So we're doing a neighborhood outreach September 17th and 18th. We're going to do a free Bible giveaway. And what we're going to do, we're asking for 60 people to show up on a Saturday morning, okay? Saturday, September 17th, we want 60 people. We're going to pair you up, send you out in twos, and we're going to assign each group 50 homes, okay? And for 1 hour, so that's like a minute a home. All you got to do is walk up to someone's door, take this door knocker that says, "We prayed for you. We prayed for God's blessing on you." Turn this card over and hang it red side out, and we'll come back to give you a free Bible and pray with you. We'll be back in your neighborhood on Sunday between 1 and 3 p.m. So you're going to take this door knocker, and you're just going to put it on a door. You're not going to knock. You're not going to talk to anyone. You're not going to share the four steps of salvation. You're not going to say, if you die today, would you go to heaven or hell? You know, you're not going to do it. How many of you can take a door knocker and put it on a door handle? How many can do that? Now, those of you who can't, we're really going to pray for you, okay? Because either you need physical healing in a bad way, or you have a heart issue, and not a physical heart issue, but a different heart issue. I mean, this is something that almost everyone can do. okay? And so I want to encourage you, because here's the thing. If we have 60 people out going out in twos, hitting 50 homes in an hour, do you realize we have just touched 1,500 homes around the church? And here's the thing. We're praying. I want you to begin praying now. Say, God, begin to develop a spiritual hunger in people that they would say, man, I need a Bible. Maybe they have a Bible, but they don't know, but they've been away from God, or they don't know where that Bible is, and God is going to move on their heart, and they're going to hang that red sign out. And then we're looking for teams of people who'd say, okay, I'm willing to go and pray, and I'm willing to witness, I'm willing to share. I realize that might not be for everyone, but we're going to assemble some teams of people to go back then on Sunday. Between 1 and 3, we're going to drive through the neighborhoods we've been through, and when we see this door knocker, red sign out, we're going to stop, take him a Bible, and pray for him. As a church, we need to get outside of our four walls and touch people. And this is a non-threatening way, because people are basically saying, hey, come and talk to me. We're not asking you to stand on a street corner and say, turn or burn, baby. You know, that works really well on the beach, turn or burn, you know. That's a great phrase when you're witnessing on the beach. But we're not asking to be a street preacher. We're just saying, put a door knocker on a door. And if we all do that, we can impact the people around us. And we're praying for God to bring a spiritual hunger, a spiritual thirst to their lives. How many would say, I'm going to try to clear my calendar, be part of that September 17th, go out indoors? Just raise your hand right now. Go ahead and lie if you want. No, don't do that. We're going to have a great time. We're going to have a great time. September 17th and 18th. Okay, let's get into it this morning. There were six kinds of invisible people that we see in the Bible. If you're taking notes this morning, number one are those people who require time, energy, or resources. People that require time, energy, or resources. And the biblical illustration is feeding the 5,000, and it's found in Luke chapter 9, verses 12 to 14. And I find myself doing this. My phone will ring, and I look at it, and I see, oh, it's that person. And it's like, if I pick up this call, I'm going to be on the phone the next 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes. And so I just, nope, I didn't get it. I was busy. I didn't hear that. How many have ever done that before? You know that person or those two, three people. You see their call. It's like, no, I'm not taking that. Or you're in Walmart. You're shopping for groceries, and you see that person, Miss Negative, Mr. Doom and Gloom. And I mean, it's like whenever they're there, it's like they just dump all over you. And so you dive into the frozen food section and hide under the Sara Lee fish sticks, saying, oh, I hope they didn't see me. I hope they didn't see me. How many have ever done that before? You avoid certain kinds of people because they require time, energy, or even resources. Yeah, we all do it. And that's what was happening. And it's so easy, our flesh doesn't want to do that. And the disciples didn't want to do that. Because you see, Jesus had been preaching and teaching all day. And take a look in verse 12. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get some provisions, for we're in a deserted place here. But Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. When you look in a parallel passage, and we talked about that in our deeper series, you can see the parallel passages. Some guys were already calculating how much it was going to take, and they says, hey, this would take a year's worth of wages if we're going to do that. They're already thinking, this takes too much energy. This takes too much resources. We can't do it. And it says, they says, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men, plus there were women and children. And so the disciples saw this crowd, and they say, they take too much time, too much energy, too much resources. We're not going to notice them. They're going to be invisible to us. Let them go elsewhere for help. Let them go find lodging and food and somewhere else, but not us. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. That people, when I was in a small group training several years ago, they were talking about sometimes in small groups you have people, they call them EGRs. Extra grace required. There are people that want to monopolize the conversation. And in small groups, you want to hear people, but you don't want someone to totally take over. But here's the thing. God wants us to minister to EGRs. Because the Bible says, hey, when one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one hurts, we all hurt. We're told to bear one another's burdens. Now, that doesn't mean enable someone who's always doom and gloom and negativity. They need to grow and come out of that. But we are not to avoid people. They're not to be invisible to us just because they require time or energy or effort. How many times do we see someone in need and we say, nope, I don't want to do that? I'm guilty of that. This is probably one of the greatest areas I know for me that I need to have God change me and others first is people that require time, effort, and resources. It's so easy to be self-centered, but that's not what a believer does. That's not what a Christ follower should do. We need to be aware of that invisible group. Okay, let's take a look at the second group of invisibles. In your notes, the outcasts. Those people who are outcasts, and the example here is the lady at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, found in John chapter 4, and she came to draw water from the well at noon. Now, here's the thing. Ladies, back in Bible times, and we touched on this a few weeks ago in our deeper series, it was the lady's responsibility to go and get water. Women would come early in the morning when it was cool. This lady came at noontime, when everyone's going to be eating. She wanted to come when no one else was around because she had been married several times, five times, and the guy she was living with now wasn't her husband because I think partially is when she was around people, they made fun of her. They ridiculed her. She could hear them whispering behind her back. So she comes at a time of day when she's almost certain no one is going to be there. She was an outcast of society. And Jesus, when you take a look at this, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. And it looks like she was the main reason he came to Samaria. He came for her. Even though she was an outcast, even though she looked different, even though people kind of, you know, just, get over there, you don't belong with us, Jesus said she is important. The outcast was not invisible. You know, in our society, a lot of times the outcasts, those on the fringe, don't get any attention until they do a shooting massacre at a school or they go on a rampage in a movie theater. And then we notice the outcast, the person who's a little different, the person who's been bullied, the person that is maybe socially awkward. That's when we noticed them. What would happen if we noticed the outcast before the tragedy took place? How many tragedies would be averted? There are outcasts around us all the time. Young people, you're going back to school in just a few weeks. Everybody said, oh, God, help me. Except the parents. But young people, there's going to be classmates, people you walk the halls with that are outcasts. And Jesus wants you to see them. Not let them be invisible, but engage them in conversation. Some of you, you work with outcasts. You live next to outcasts. Let the Holy Spirit begin to put on your heart. That person that, you know, has a spike tear and, you know, 42 piercings all over their body. That person that just seems really weird. If the Holy Spirit prompts you to get involved in their life, to say hi, how's it going, to start up a conversation, don't ignore the voice to see the invisible outcast. God wants to use us to transform this city, this society, so that everyone experiences the love of God. No one is invisible to Jesus. Let's move on. Let's take a look at the third invisible group that we see in the Word of God. and that's people who are seemingly insignificant. People who are seemingly insignificant. And the lady, the person here, the example, is the widow who gave two mites, found in Luke 21, verses 1 to 3. And Jesus is by the temple treasury. And here's the thing. The treasury, there were several places around the temple courtyard where they would have these kind of big trumpet-shaped you kind of horn things, and they were like a funnel. You go to the mall and you see those funnels you can put coins in, and it goes around and around in circles and it drops in there. It's kind of like that, and then it funneled down into a box. And so people would come. They didn't have dollar bills back then. They had coins, and they would put their offerings into this offering receptacle, like this trumpet thing, and it was made out of metal. So when you put it in, I mean, it made a big racket. And so people that were really rich and giving a big offering, when they came and they dumped their offering in, it made a big racket. And like people, that, you know, you're in the temple, it's like you hear this big noise. Oh, wow, look at the offering he put in. Man, look at the money she put in. Wow, they are rich. They're someone important. But there's a lady, and let's read it. It says, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. A mite was the smallest coin that existed in the Roman currency system. So it'd be like the equivalent of pennies. She put in two pennies. You can't put in anything smaller than that. And Jesus said, truly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. You see, Jesus didn't look at her social standing and just dismiss her. She was significant to Jesus. Everyone is significant. And there's times that we look at people and we size them up by maybe who they are in the community. We size them up by their bank account, by their social standing, and it's like, oh yeah, we'll go talk to them. But this person who maybe we see as not very influential or whatever, we ignore them. One of my pet peeves is when pastors do that to people. I've seen pastors do that. Someone that maybe looks kind of like they're homeless or they're maybe not that well, just walk right by them to go talk to the person in the suit and the tie, the one who's a little bit better, and they'll introduce them, but they'll look that over. They'll look over the insignificant person. There is no one insignificant. And there's times in our own eyes, and I've been guilty of this, as a married couple, it's easier for me and my wife to approach other married couples and not talk to singles, to not talk to single moms or single guys, single dads, and marrieds just focus on marrieds. There's sometimes we ignore the widow or the widower or the elderly person to seek out someone more in our own age group or someone that we connect with more. But friends, everyone is significant in the kingdom. It is really quiet in here today. Maybe you need some of that coffee Pastor Josh was talking about. Or maybe the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about the invisibles in our own lives. Invisibles right here next to us, where we live, where we worship, where we work, where we go to class. No one is insignificant. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you matter to God. Say, you're important. Say, you're special. God loves you. And there is nothing you can do about it. Everyone matters to God. All right, let's take a look at the fourth group. The fourth category of invisibles are those people who are different from us. Those people who are different from us. When I was in high school, it was kind of like the jocks hung out with the jocks. The gearheads hung out with the gearheads, you know, and the artsies hung out with the artsies. How many of you saw that in high school? There's kind of these different social groupings, and everyone hung out with those who they were like. You know, and we kind of do that as adults. People who are different from us, we don't gravitate towards them. We look for people that are like us, that dress like us, that have the same interests, you know. And that's just normal human behavior. But believers need to go for those who are the same and the different. And we see an example of this in Acts chapter 6. It's the Hellenist widows. We see in Acts 6, it says, now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, and I mean multiplying, they were adding hundreds and thousands of people a day to the church, okay? It says, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution of food. They would hand out food to all the widows, but the Hellenist widows weren't. And Hellenists were Jews that had lived among the Gentiles, and they adapted the Greek language, Greek customs, Greek cultures. So even though they were Jewish, they didn't live Jewish. They lived like a Greek. They lived like a Gentile. And their widows were being neglected just because they were different. And so that's when the deacons came on the scene, and that's when they made sure that everyone was taken care of. But it is so easy for us to look at the differences in race, differences in appearance, differences in whatever standing they might be, and say, you know, I'm not going to get involved with them because they're not like me. They're just different. And so we ignore them. They're invisible to us. We don't notice them. The Apostle Paul tried to break down racial and social barriers when he wrote to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 11. He says, and he's talking about as Christians in the body of Christ, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian. Barbarians were people that were kind of unpolished and they had crude manners. And then it says Scythian. Scythians were people that were a wild and a savage race, kind of very ferocious. And Paul says, there's neither slave nor free, but Christ is in all and is all. Here's what Paul is saying. He is saying there are not different cliques in the body of Christ. When God looks at us, he doesn't see races. He doesn't see skin color. He doesn't see those who are mannerly and those who are uptight and proper and does everything right. God sees people made in the image of himself. Every person is made in the image of God. Even the drug dealer, the prostitute, the person that you would think of as the lowest person in society, everyone is made in the image of God. Every person is potentially our brother and sister in Christ. Everyone. I want you to think of the worst person that you know of. Think of the most unlovely, weirdest person you have seen this week. Okay? And they're potentially your brother or sister in Christ. And they matter as much to God as you. There is no differences because God, when he looks at us, he sees an eternal soul that he gave his son to bleed and die for. Each person matters to God. And so we need to look beyond the differences and embrace and engage everyone. That's the next category. Let's look at number 5. The fifth group of invisibles we commonly see are those people who are younger than us. People who are younger than us. And the example is Eutychus in Acts chapter 20, verse 7 and 9. And Paul has come to the city of Troas to minister to Christians there. And he's been preaching and ministering for a week. And he's on Sunday. He's getting ready to leave. It's his last night there. And he has so much he wants to give to him that he goes really, really, really long. You think I go long at times. Take a look at Acts 20, verse 7. Now, the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. How many know Paul got long-winded there? Yeah. What would you do if we went to midnight? I probably would lose you. You wouldn't, you know, stick around for that. Paul went to midnight. And in verse 9, it says, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. Now here's my question. What was a young boy doing sitting in a three-story window, falling asleep, and no one noticed him? Where was his parents, his mother and father? Why weren't they keeping an eye on him? Or if he was the only one saved in his family, then why wasn't anyone in the church looking at Eutychus? Because he was invisible. They didn't see him, and he falls out of the window and he dies. Paul goes down, raises him up, and then he goes back on preaching again. That didn't stop him. You know, he didn't take it as a cue to wrap it up. He just kept going longer. But here's the thing. So many times in our society, the younger generation is invisible to us. We know the names of their parents, but we don't know the kids. That's why, as I stand at the back door, I try to get to know the parents' names and the kids' names. And I tell you, it's not easy. But here's the thing. Kids are people, too. And you've heard me say this many times, that children are the church of today, not the church of tomorrow. If we treat kids as the children of tomorrow, if we don't recognize them today, if they're invisible today, they won't be with us tomorrow. We need to place an emphasis upon the younger generation, because we are just one generation from the church being extinct. I'm going to focus more on this next week in a message called Not on My Watch, but we need to recognize the younger generation. They are not invisible to Jesus, and they shouldn't be invisible to us. Okay, let's take a look at the last group of invisibles, and those are people that we are unfamiliar with. People that we are unfamiliar with, we don't know a lot about them. And the example here is the Apostle Paul, who's been newly saved. Actually, he's called Saul in the reference we have listed there, Acts chapter 9, verse 26 to 27. Paul hadn't changed his name yet. He's still Saul. And it says, when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. He tried to get together with Christians, with the followers of Jesus Christ, but it says they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. Now, I can understand that. I mean, last time Paul was in Jerusalem, he was ordering threats and imprisoning people and killing people. I mean, he was on a rampage. He persecuted the church. So I understand that. But here's the thing. God had done a powerful work in Paul's life, and it has been several years since Paul has been saved. And despite the time that has elapsed, because people are unfamiliar with Paul, they want nothing to do with him. It says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Do you realize Paul was the guy that got things going to the Gentiles? Paul is the one that started sharing the gospel to the non-Jews. How many non-Jews are here today? Raise your hand if you're not Jewish. If you're a Gentile, raise your hand. Raise it high. That's, I think, almost everyone here, okay? Where would we be today if Barnabas didn't say, Paul, you're coming with me. You're not invisible to me. Where would we be today? We'd be in deep weeds. But because one man said, you're not invisible, I'll be your friend, I'll take you, I'll get you involved with other Christians, there are millions, billions of people that have come to know Jesus Christ because one man said, you're not invisible to me. That is the power of putting other people first. And that's why God is calling us as a church to put other people first. Because you don't know that child or that outcast or that person who's different. You don't know the plan that God has for your life. their life. You don't know how they might be the next Billy Graham. They might be the next Luis Palau. They might be the next, you know, Toby Mac that touches thousands and millions of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. No one is invisible to our Savior. And because no one is invisible to Him, no one should be invisible to us. As we wrap this up this morning, I want you just to begin to look at your life and to be thinking about, God, have I allowed people to become invisible? I just haven't noticed them. I haven't been aware. God, what do you want to do? How do you want to open my eyes so that I begin to see people? Last week, Pastor Josh mentioned how when he calls on the phone to our guests and he finds out some people have never been to church before, not just our church, but any church, or they haven't been in church in 10 years, what would it communicate to them if there was two, three people that came up to him after church and just began to talk to him, ask them their name, you know, how long have they lived here, what do they do, tell me about your family, do you like the Broncos, you do, I'm sorry, I'll pray for you. Yeah, I know they won last year. We'll see how good they are this year. But, you know, just begin to engage him on a personal level. What would it communicate to that person who's not a follower of Jesus Christ? Instead of them walking in and someone at the door handing them a bulletin shakes their hand, they have to shake their hand. The pastor standing at the back door shakes their hand, and those are the only time someone talks to them. What kind of difference does it make in their life when someone genuinely cares? God's asking us to do church differently than we've done for the past 6 months, 6 years, 60 years. He's asking us to be other-oriented. Pastor Josh, last week, he said the first C was to consciously look for other first opportunities. I'm going to throw out a bunch to you, and maybe the Holy Spirit will quicken one of these to your heart. Your first conscious other first opportunity is be part of the door-to-door Bible giveaway on September 17th. Come and help us pass out. That's one way to be others first. One is to learn one person's name each Sunday, okay? If you'd come in and you'd say, there's this couple, I see them, I don't know who they are, there's Adam and Jenny, and I know Adam and Jenny. And what you do is after church, write down their name, okay? That, and keep saying it all week long. Picture the face and the name. And when you're talking with him, it's like, hi, Adam. It's good to meet you, Adam. Use your name a lot so you don't forget it. That's how I remember names. I try to use people's names. I try to associate them. It's like, you know, someone's name is Penny and they have red hair. A copper penny has red hair. Okay, that's Penny. Or someone's name is John. Okay, I know John Hitchcock, and I stand that person next to John Hitchcock on my mind. So when I think of that person standing next to John, I know that's John. Those are ways to remember people's names. But if you would learn one new person's name every week, in 52 Sundays, you would know 52 new people in church. Would that be cool or what? And if all 200 of us do that, you realize that's 10,000 new people we know? Wow, I mean, that's cool. But that's others first. One little step. It doesn't take a big thing to make a big difference. Here's another others first step. Ask God to show you the invisibles at work, at school, in the neighborhood. The other day, I came home from work. I got out of the car, and our neighbor was outside, and his little girl, who's about 7, 8, she's friends with my daughter, and her name is Madison, and she says, "Hi, Craig." Now, her dad said absolutely nothing, but I thought it was so cool that she recognized me, and you know why? Because I recognize her. When I see her, I talk to her. I say, "Hi, Madison." You know, there was a time when I was just walking by my daughter's friends, not paying any attention to the kids, and God says, "You can't do that. You need to show God's love to them and acknowledge them." So now I try to acknowledge all my daughter's friends when they're playing out in the front yard. It's a simple thing, but man, when she called out to me first, I was going, yeah, I've connected with her, and I'm not just some grumpy adult. You see, there's a lot of ways you and I can make a difference in people's lives. Others first. No one is invisible. Let's pray.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.